This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Day three of the convention for Abbott's Magic Get Together here in Colon, Michigan. And I've got with me the second or first vice president of the Society of American Magicians, Mr. John Sturck. Hello, John.
Hey, Scotty. Good to be here.
Always good to spend some time with you, my friend.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask a little bit, there's so many things I want to talk to you about, but let's talk a little bit about last evening's show. What did you think of the show? From your standpoint, you were, of course, the person who's taken Wilma Wrench's place and playing the organ now. So,
well, I think if you had asked me to make a list of my favorite performers, nearly everyone on last night's show was on that list.
Yeah.
The only one who I was not familiar with was Joel Hodgson, but I was very glad to see him. I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah, he was kind of like Carrot Top, you know, as far as a prop comic and everything. And those of you who may not know him or the name may sound familiar and you're not sure, he was the guy who was the creator, I believe he's a creator, at least he was a performer also then, of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, Mystery Science Theater 3000. And if I may brag by association. So some of my friends I used to work with in the improv scene in Chicago now work with Joel on the new MST3K. So I am like 2 degrees removed from Joel Hodgson.
That's pretty cool.
And I haven't had a chance to tell him yet. So I hope I run into him.
Hope I get a chance to visit with him as well. I chatted with him just briefly and said, hey, I'd like to talk with you for the podcast. And he said, well, get together. And we haven't yet, but we'll... Anyhow, but the other people, just so everyone who's listening, who else is on the bill?
Last night was Mike Caveney.
As the MC.
As the MC. There was also Tina Leonard. And a surprise appearance by David Charvet, and of course Matt King was the closer.
Yeah, what a show!
And
that was just the second night show. We still got a show tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah,
to go with that as well.
Well, I mean, they started Wednesday night show with Jeff Hobson, and you wonder how can you ramp up the energy after that, because he's just such a dynamo.
Yeah,
and it's going well so far.
It has. Now, here we are actually on the afternoon, so we've already had like a morning of things that have been happening, and we're sitting in the dealer's room. It's quiet now. It's closed. So we got a little bit of time where we can chat here. Then, too, what else have you seen then today that's been impressive to you?
Well, let's see. This morning was the stage contest. It's always nice to see people participating. And it was a general stage contest in that the age ranges were very disparate. You had, I think the oldest performer said his age was 77, and then you had some much younger people competing as well. So it was kind of nice to see that cross-generational.
And another thing is, I thought it was interesting how they mixed close-up with stage, and there was no differentiation because there was one young man there who had done some street magic kind of stuff.
Yeah, there was one guy who did a close-up act on stage in the gymnasium, and it was a little tough. I can imagine the situation for him.
It would have been better had it been actually in a more intimate sitting, and we could have had actually a true close-up situation, but he was doing close-up on stage. It was difficult.
Yeah.
And so really they had changed the contest some years back here in Abbott's, is that correct? So that way it does encompass, so there's no age bracket, it's not a junior and senior, and there's not a senior close-up or sage, it's basically just a winner, right?
Yep, they will be announcing that tonight. End of tonight's show, they got to announce the winners because I don't know if it's been tradition to have the winner perform in tomorrow's matinee on Saturday, but I'm not even sure if there's a matinee.
There's not a matinee, no.
Well, then never mind. But it's still on the schedule to announce the winners tonight.
Okay, and is that when they also announce the Bill Baird Manipulation Award, too?
No, I believe that happens Saturday night after all the evening shows are done.
Okay, all right. And then this afternoon we had, I thought it was kind of interesting, a dual lecture by Chad Long and also David Williamson. Now, they did, although they shared the same time, Chad was first, and then David came on second.
Yep, yep. And, I mean, what two comedy powerhouses that they could blow any one of them individually could blow the roof off of the place.
Yeah, yeah.
And combined, it was like a tsunami of comedy and magic.
It was just hilarity. I mean, even if you weren't going to be learning any magic that they were teaching, which was really good stuff, by the way, just watching their performances and then hearing them talk and their stories, it was funny.
This is just guys I like to watch.
Yeah, just guys I like to watch, exactly. It was a lot of fun. And also, then we just finished watching Pure Magic by Eric DeCamps, his one-man show.
Yes, yes.
In the intimate setting of the whole gymnasium.
The whole gymnasium, yep. But I remember seeing Eric here in Colon maybe about 15 years ago for the close-up convention that they have in the springtime. And it was nice to... I haven't seen him perform live since then. Mm-hmm. But, wow, it's just incredible. His egg bag is really...
It's always a killer.
And I do the egg bag a lot.
Yeah.
And it fools the heck out of me. So.
Yeah. And I know... And I'm getting ready to watch his ending, and it still catches me off guard.
Yeah, I can't catch it. He's got me good.
And then his Dean's Box, of course, his presentation. It's like, okay, that's the end. Nobody can top that.
Yeah, I don't see how you could.
Yeah, very good. And just kind of going back a little bit, last evening had a great time with our Magic and Martinis. Thursday wasn't just a virtual happy hour. We did one that was live at Curly's, and we had a lot of people who... showed up for that, and it was a lot of fun, and I did this live, and unfortunately I was using the sound from the microphone built into the laptop, so for those of you who were watching that, I apologize. I've gotten a lot of comments back. It was kind of negative feedback on the audio, and that's all on me. So next year, live and learn. There we go.
That's right.
Kind of thing. And then tonight, we've got something else that's planned for this evening. I think we're going to be having a Parmesan dinner over at the Lutheran Church or
something. There's chicken parm over at the Lutheran Church. I think I'm going to check that out. Because, you know, Magic Week is known for a lot of things, but healthy eating is not one of them.
That's true. I've had Amish donuts. I've had Amish chicken and other foods and delights then as well. So it has been just a heck of a lot of fun. So far, also, you have, as I mentioned or alluded to earlier, you've been the person who is in charge of the music as far as the live music.
So. Yeah, so for many, many years... Wilma Wrench was the official Abbott's organist. She had toured in a previous life with the circus performing, and she settled down in Michigan and played for many, many years, and she finally retired around 2012, I think it was. So I did get to see several years of Wilma performing. Yeah. And then she retired, and they played her CD, and everybody's like, I missed the live music. And I looked around and I said, well, I don't think anybody else is going to do it, so I will. So I've had the gig now for, I think, maybe 5 years. I've honestly lost track.
Yeah. Well, you bring a different vibe to it because you have different kind of music you're playing.
Yeah,
jazz.
I play a different style of organ, and I play literally a different,
literally different organ.
She played the theater organ. I play the Hammond organ. So just try to, you know, it's always a tough when you're trying to replace someone. And I've got the job now, so I got to put my own spin on it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Before we close, though, I do want to congratulate you on being the first vice president. So right now, Tom Gentile is the president.
Correct.
Just inducted. Was it a virtual?
It was a hybrid. So we did have a live meeting in Poughkeepsie, New York at the beginning of, or excuse me, towards the end of July, where Joel Zeritsky presided over his first and last live meeting, and then passed the gavel to Tom at the end of that meeting. So Tom Gentile is our now president, and behind him is President-elect Rod Chow of Vancouver, British Columbia. Behind Rod is me, and then behind me is John Midgley of Tennessee. He's the second vice president.
That's great, and they got some other people on the board. I haven't been on the board. I've served on the board on the IBM several times, and with the SAM, is it similar from the standpoint that you get two people?
Well, we have, of course, also our Marlene Clark is our national secretary, and Eric Lampert, our national treasurer. Hmm. So that's the top officers, plus, of course, our magnanimous national administrator, who is Mano Rodriguez of Colorado. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, listen, this has been a lot of fun. I know you're busy and kind of working behind the scenes with a lot of other things. In addition to...
I got to stop working so hard at this convention. I come here to relax, and I end up working so hard. I'm a glutton for punishment, I guess.
Well, even before you get here, you have to do all the organizing because you are also responsible for the stage street magicians.
Right, yeah. So this is a tradition that started, maybe 8 or 9 years ago now, where the Chamber of Commerce in Colon would sponsor busking in the streets. And they published the dates and times and locations in the paper so that when the busker arrived at their pitch, they already had a crowd waiting for them.
Yeah.
And it was just another way to put more magic in the magic capital of the world. And I phoned up Abbott's in the springtime, and I said, "Well, what do you think? Is this on? We're going to do this?" And they said, "Not sure yet." Yeah. So about 2 weeks before the get together, I got the message from Abbott's that, "Okay, we're on." So I scrambled to get some street performers. So we have several Michiganders: Gordon Russ, Jania Taylor, and Trino, and John LaChance. We've also got from Ohio, Nick Eaton, and myself, a transplanted Michigander now living in Illinois. So they've all reported having great crowds and just spreading the magic. That's what we like to do.
Yeah. Well, we haven't had the public shows or anything, and the Amish haven't been in town as much as we normally would see them around.
Yeah, I haven't seen the buggies out so much, although I did see a horse and buggy hauling a boat yesterday. So only in Colon, man.
Yeah, that's a good point. One thing I have not seen also, they sometimes have an Amish Uber, I think. And so
yeah,
is that
the
running?
Amish Uber. I have not seen the Amish Uber around, but yes, 2 years ago, I keep wanting to say last year, but last get-together 2 years ago was the Amish Uber. Mm-hmm. And obviously you could not use your phone to contact him.
You just had to be in a big hurry.
You just had to flag him down and he'd give you a buggy ride, yeah.
To some place where you wanted to go. Well, listen, John, thanks very much for your time. Thanks for all that you do and helping to make Abbott's what it is year after year, something that's very special to all of us.
Back at you, Scott. It's so good to see you and everybody else in person finally.
It is. You know, since we had joined each other in one of the virtual happy hours we had with you, which was so much fun because you also provided some live music to the show as
well. Well, you know, like I always say, I'm running out of skills to monetize. It's like what Jay Marshall used to say. He'd go to event convention and be a magician, and he'd go to magic convention and be event. So among the magicians here, I can be Mr. Musician.
Yeah.
And when I hang out with musicians, I do card tricks. So
would you introduce yourself as a musician or a magician?
It depends on the gig.
Because it's so funny whenever I say a magician, they say, "What instrument do you play?"
Of course,
my reply is, "I play the cards." Because then they go, "Huh?"
You know, yeah. Nobody goes up to Elton John and say, "What card am I thinking of?" It doesn't work the other way around.
It doesn't, does it? That's
no.
The funniest thing. Yeah, very good. John, thanks for your time. Appreciate
Anytime,
it.
Scotty.
Okay. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was John Stirk. This is Scotty out. All right, well, as we're still walking around and coming out of the dealer's room, and soon going to be getting ready for dinner. Again, it's been kind of a long day over here. But I got with me then Len Ratty. And so is that Ratty?
It's Roddy, but that's...
Roddy. Roddy, because it's R-A.
R-A, but it's still Roddy. Roddy, yeah.
Okay. I'm glad you pronounced it.
That's all right.
So how many years have you been coming then, Len?
I've been coming since 1974.
Almost every year or without exception?
I've missed three, and I always tell everybody two are because of a job, and one is because I couldn't get my child bride to spend our honeymoon in Colorado.
Well, now that's kind of funny because, so therefore, you're celebrating your anniversary at the same time every year, your wedding anniversary?
Pretty much, pretty close.
And do you bring her with you then?
She's been a couple of times, but only for evening shows. So she likes the people, but a week of magic would be a little too much for
How
her.
Far do you live from here?
I live in Milwaukee, so it's about 280 miles.
Yeah. So it's not like she can just kind of bop
over
for the
afternoon.
That,
that's right, yeah.
Gotcha. So what have you seen this year that would separate this from other conventions?
Well,
how would you place this among...
I would place it very close
pantheon,
to the...
Pantheon, I guess.
Close to the top because of the array of talent that they've brought in. And the fact that Wednesday night shows are probably not always what you would think, like a Friday or Saturday.
Like a closing show.
So, yeah, right. But this year's Wednesday show was fantastic. And yeah. So was last night, Thursday. So, and we're looking forward to tonight and tomorrow.
Tomorrow as well. When are they going to be having the panel discussion that was going to be for the greatest contest? Have they already had that?
I think it's tomorrow about 1 o'clock.
Okay. And that's going to be, well, talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's, you know, I was here when, and I'm good friends with Jeff Hobson. Mm-hmm. So I remember the contest, and being partial to him, I said, when he found out he got second place, I thought you should have won first, but, you know, Lance was very, very good, and we all know what happened to Lance. So.
Was that back whenever the Jeff was still doing his flower act? And,
he was actually doing, he had a powder blue suit on, and he was doing, billiard balls, mm-hmm. and I think he did some of his music to Rhapsody in Blue.
Okay. Yeah. So, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, explain who else was on in the contest that year.
Well, and Matt King was there, and he did comedy, and so usually a manipulation act at least back then would win the contest.
And that's why Lance won.
That's pretty much why Lance won.
Did he do kind of the beginning of the act that made him famous?
Well, as I remember, he did his birds and some cards, but obviously it's gotten way more polished.
Yeah.
But I think it was pretty close to his opening bird act back then.
Because it was around the time that he then took that act to FISM, right? Because he had then gone to the IBM and won
the IBM
first
and then
gold
went,
medal.
Went to FISM, and I think 4 years after he won here, I think he was on Carson. I believe it was in the early 80s.
That's right.
So, yeah.
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 I think he was one of the first people on Carson, if not the only one, I think, who had blown through a commercial. So I'm going to give you like a full 10 minutes to do your full act.
Yeah, it's 10 or 12 minutes. And as I have heard that, the producers or directors said no way. And when, mm-hmm. Carson saw him, he said, you give him the full 12 or 10 minutes.
Yeah,
so,
right. Yeah. Yes. And so, again, this has been just phenomenal. Have you learned some things from the lectures also that they've had?
Absolutely. I thought the one, and I like history, and I certainly like history of magic, and I think some of the things that were in Kevin James' lectures certainly filled the bill for me on that. He had some very interesting stories on how he developed things and what happened with his act going forward in his career, and it was very interesting. So.
Yeah, he taught a couple of things, and then when he started opening up to Q&A, it was interesting the kind of questions that people were interested in. It wasn't like, hey, how'd you hold your hand, or explain the coin, the bottle, or whatever. It's more like, tell us about what you did this or that, or how you got into
absolutely.
Vegas.
I think that's what made it really interesting.
Yeah.
I think for everybody, I think they walked away with something, really special about that lecture. So.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I think people here have been to enough, and we all know enough tricks, but it's interesting to hear more about how people got to where they are in their careers, particularly
right.
those who started here, like Kevin, being living in Michigan, because that was an interesting journey he talked about, mm-hmm. and leaving Michigan and then seeing the guys in the Long Beach Mystics and decided I'm going to move to California, became part of that group, and from there it just took off.
Right. I remember Kevin James when he was first here and probably entered a contest, but he would walk around the Legion. He was perfecting his coin and bottle routine back then,
mm-hmm.
and I remember seeing it, and that's a great routine because it's got an ending and an opening for a coin and bottle routine. It's kind of cool.
For those who are not here, and everybody wishes they were, I'm sure, whether they're listening to this podcast, how would you say this year is also different from previous years?
Well, obviously the talent is top notch, and I think the crowds are bigger because everybody has to buy a ticket, a full registration, which is understandable with what's going on with COVID. But a lot of times I come just to see a lot of friends, and I've probably seen more friends than I haven't every year because not everybody. I think because the convention has been such a big draw because of the talent that there are more people here than have been sometimes in the past.
Well, what I was kind of getting to, and I'm just trying to put words in your mouth, but what I was kind of getting to also is I don't see the street vendors and the tent set up as they usually do, or people having garage sales.
And things. Yeah, that's true. I'm glad you brought that up. That probably isn't different. different, is different, because Dallas Street is usually filled with a lot of vendors. Of course, we have all the buskers, and we probably have more buskers, I think, this year than we have in the past, so that's kind of nice to see.
Yeah, I was just talking with John Sterk about that, and he, I guess 2 weeks ago, they said, okay, yep, we're on, so he had to start contacting all these people to do all that.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and I think we've had limited dealers in the dealer room, too, so it's part of COVID, and so it's that's unfortunate.
That is a good point. I think we've got one, two, three, four, five, about six dealers, and they usually have like twice that.
Right, yeah, absolutely, twice that. And Abbott's usually has a bigger display. Of course, they have more room when it's over at the elementary school, and I heard there was some work going on over there, so that's why they had to
That's a very interesting point, because that's right. We actually are doing something different. Those who have attended this in the past, where we have had the dealers over in the junior high, right. Everything is happening here in the high school. So the dealers are set up in the cafeteria, understands what this is.
Yeah.
And, of course, the main shows still are in the gymnasium.
Uh-huh.
But they're still selling popcorn, and they're not going to be having then the usual fireworks tomorrow night.
No, they're not having fireworks, right. And there's no matinee as well. So that's another different thing from years
past. But they've also added, with this is not part of the convention, that is Dwayne Laughlin's theater, which is open to the public, and he's doing shows.
Yeah. I'm glad you're bringing this up. You know, I come every year, and I you're telling me things I should already know.
Well, I mean, it's not about me. I want people to tell me. I'm trying to put words in other people's mouths.
You know, that's true. You know, Sterlini over the last few years has been doing shows late in the afternoon, early evening, and now Dwayne Laughlin's there. So that's really been I've been over to see his show, and it's a really great show. So that's something else that people that could not buy individual tickets maybe to see the evening show can go over and still see some magic over there. So that's really, really nice.
And also, they have had more shows at Abbott's. They've been doing like $5 matinee shows throughout the day. I know with Jeffrey Allen and others doing people back at Abbott's Magic Factory.
Right, yeah, they used to do those just like maybe on Friday and Saturday, but they've been doing those throughout the convention too, so that's kind of nice as well. So,
yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it has been.
It's been great. Thanks very much. I appreciate that, Lynn.
And okay, well, thank you. It was nice talking with you.
Good talking with you. Right. Enjoy the rest of the convention.
All right, thank you. You
so,
as well.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Lynn Roddy, not Ratty, Scotty L. All right, so back in the dealer's room, and I am pleased and honored to have an opportunity to speak with Mr. Dick Stoner. Hi there, Dick. How are you?
Good, real good.
It's good to see you over here. And so you've been attending this for a number of years, haven't you?
I appeared on it back when I was 17 years old in 1947, or I think, or four.
47. You were 17, so you were born in, maybe doing the math, in 30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good. Hey, well, you're getting around very good over here. So you've been attending this for a long number of years. And so,
a lot of times. Sometimes I was working a lot of trade shows, and I couldn't make it. But most of the time, when I could, I would.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're the guy.
Percy Abbott came to Fort Wayne and picked out our location, in fact.
Picked out your location for what? What do you mean?
For our magic shop. We opened a store in 1949 in Fort Wayne, and we'd come up to talk to Percy Abbott, my dad and I. Dad says, "This is what you want to do. Why don't we open a magic shop?" So we came down and talked to Percy, and he said, "Where are you located?" And we said, "Fort Wayne, Indiana." He said, "Well, we want to see if you'd sell us magic." And he said, "Well, I've got a store in Detroit, a store in Chicago, and a store in Indianapolis. You're right in the middle of that, and I think I'd be competing with myself."
Yeah.
So we left, and Dad was looking for some other sources. And about a month later, he called us and said, "I'm selling the Indianapolis store. If you want to buy the inventory, I'll give you the showcases and the stage and so on." And then he came to Fort Wayne and picked out our location.
Wow.
And that was, 71 years ago, anyway. We later bought the buildings and expanded. We have a costume rental business as well as magic. We have 20,000 rental costumes. We rent to schools for their plays and all that sort of thing. And my whole life's been just doing this.
I know that it has. And so, as far as the magic shop, is that still open?
Yep.
Is it
really? Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Are you there often?
I've been going in on Saturdays. We're open shorter hours right now until things get back, into motion more.
Right.
And then I'll probably go in most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, and also, you've been a pioneer in trade shows, obviously, for a long time. How did you get started with your first trade show? Did someone were you doing? Go ahead.
Well, the first one I did was years ago. I was doing some shows, and Eckrich Company. And
Eckrich Farms? Or I'm saying Eckrich.
They had meat, luncheon maids and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah.
And they were located in Fort Wayne, Indiana at that time. Mm-hmm. And they saw me, and they wanted me to go to the restaurant show, or went with them, and they and I would do some magic and draw some people in. That was kind of before anybody started working trade shows. And later on, I got booked on a few trade shows, and then I did about one company I worked for 30 years doing their trade show, Belden Wire and Cable Company. And, I just a number of different mm-hmm. companies, and made an awful lot of out of that. And then I did a trade show in California, and I was exhibited there at a trade show, and there was a guy kept coming over watching me, and he was from Nashville, and he brought his boss back to see me, and his boss says, we're in Nashville, this guy, the other guy did a puppet thing, and then he went in there at the show, and I went over to see him, and anyway, he brought his boss back, and he watched my show, and he said, well, if you ever want to, we got a new channel we're opening up, and Nashville Network, mm-hmm. a new thing, and he said, we'd like to have you on the show sometime. And I said, well, maybe, okay. And I went home from that show and mentioned it to my wife, and she said, well, that's a new country music network. You ought to do that. So I called him up and said I could come down sometime, and they said, well, they scheduled me for a few weeks later, and I said, well, I'm going to be a show in Atlanta, but I could come back through there. And I go, oh, that'd be great. So I did the show, and a few days after the show, I get a letter from them saying, I want to thank you for helping us entertain our $40 million viewers.
Wow.
And
you had no idea it was going to be that large.
No. And I worked that about 20-some times, and out of that, I did the Statler Brothers show. Mm-hmm. I did two times, and that Nashville thing brought me a lot of shows from all around the country because people listen to that country music.
Right.
And so it's been a fun time.
I think, was that the Statler Brothers show also that Walter Blaney, I think, was on?
They asked me if anybody else they knew, and I suggested Walter Blaney call him, and yeah.
Yeah. Because, uh-huh. It seems like I remember him being on that show. So were you a regular that would come back and do that?
Well, I did the Nashville Now show a number of times. The okay. Statlers I did just two times.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think they had a lot of repeats on it, but...
So did you do some things that you had been doing from the shop and saying, oh, what can I do this week? Or,
well, I did things from my act, you know, except uh-huh. normally you do about a five-minute spot or something like that, 5-10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so I did portions of my act on the two different times.
Yeah.
And the Statler Brothers show had me doing close-up magic one time and another thing, the stage show another time. And
right. Well, now on the trade shows, whenever you first started doing that, then also you were one of the pioneers. I think, because I keep thinking about Bud Dietrich and
I worked when he was working there a lot, and Eddie Tulloch, Dick Ryan.
Dick Ryan, that was the name I was trying mm-hmm. to think of. Yeah,
yeah, and worked with an awful lot of them there.
The fellow with the Mike Rogers.
Mike Rogers is a good friend. Yeah, yeah, he was a good friend of mine. And that's.
Did you get some other people started in trade shows? From which, you mean, were there so many shows you couldn't keep up? And say, well, let me recommend.
I did a few shows, but I had people call me, and I was already booked on the show. And he worked the same show I'd worked for another company.
Yeah,
he worked a few of them, and but yeah, then I got. Out of the trade show things, you know, doing more banquets for companies out and doing their
mm-hmm. their after dinner shows.
Yeah.
And, did you do cocktail strolling also during their cocktail? Did you do some strolling during their cocktail hours?
Yeah. Lots of times I did. I'd stroll during the cocktail hour and do the stand up show afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And but I just worked all kinds of things. I had a couple trade shows go over to Europe and do them. Actually,
that'd been fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you were working the same company for, what did you say, 30, 33 years or so, did you each year do the same kinds of effect, or each year?
A lot of times I did pretty much the same thing, because the trade shows, there's an awful lot of turnover in the people that attend it, and, mm-hmm. And even the people that didn't, they come back to see you. And they, in fact, if you don't do it, they want to see something that you did.
Sure.
And so I did a lot of the same things, but I'd stick some new things every once in a while in and change it up. And, but it's a lot of interaction. I do a lot of audience participation, so it, they like that.
What was one of your favorite destinations your or shows that you had done that you really enjoyed?
Well, I worked for, like working in Las Vegas. It was fun working there, and then go see Lance Burton and Mack King and a lot of the friends there. That was always fun to see those guys.
It wasn't Mike Close also a good friend of yours?
Yeah, Mike. Mike got started in our store. He came in our store as a teenager, a young kid, and he lived near Fort Wayne. And then they moved to Indianapolis, but he still come up and got some things from us. And he always talks about he got started in magic.
Right. I was going to say, that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I know Mike had talked about you and saying Dick Stoner was the guy. That's why I wanted to have a chance to chat with you.
Well, thank you.
So one of the what are some ideas or tips or advice you would give for people? Now, things obviously have changed in trade shows and everything, but perhaps just given your experience of what you have found that worked to stop traffic.
The thing I think sometimes is missed in magic, people just do tricks. And you have to make it entertaining and funny, I think. And I think funny has been my key thing. Who were the two? Were you at the close-up shows?
Yes, I was. Here?
Well, the two guys, what was it?
You mean Chad Long and David Williamson?
Dave Williamson was a teenager, and I was working a trade show. It was at a military base, and the companies that were there were supplying military things. Mm-hmm. And I was working for a company there, and I was doing the trade show. And he came over and watched me a few times, and he had he was at their booth doing some magic. They had him doing some card tricks and stuff. And he came over and he'd see my crowd, and he said, "How do you get this crowd?" And I said, "Well, I make them laugh." He said, "Oh, that's..." And out of that, he evolved into being one of the funniest guys you'll ever see.
Yeah.
But he understood that that's what makes people entertain. Now, the show after that, the gentleman after that was magic.
Yeah, Eric DeCamps.
Yeah. But...
Pacing.
Yeah, that... I don't think the average people like that as much as if you're... Well, Scott and... Mm-hmm. They were much more received than
right.
he was.
Right. Well, it depends upon the venue and where you're going to be working then as well, because...
They're working for magic. The magic people marveled at what the tricks he was doing.
Right.
But the entertainment value wasn't near what those two guys had.
Yeah. And also, but when you're working like on a trade show, you have to be able to stop people and also recognize I'm here to actually sell the company product, not demonstrate my magic prowess.
Right. You have to insert the product message with your magic. But the thing that stops people is doing a laugh. And I would start with linking rings. It would be up and high, and it would people see it and hear it.
Oh, yeah. Because
they'd walk over, and then you're getting laughs. And the laughter brings more people in, and that's what built the crowds.
Yeah. No, that's a good point, because just like the old street magicians who would be doing juggling to try to, because they would be high in the air, people see what's going on over there, or like you say, the blinking rings are banging together or something.
Right.
And I think even that some of the people I remember, like the conjurer, Veronimus Bosch, had a dog, and had a dog would have like a bells around his neck or something, because that would be, attract attention then too.
Right, anything that attracts attention, but then you have to hold them with some entertainment then too, to get them to stay through, forget the message.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Have you got some people who you have been mentoring of late?
There are a few young guys that have gotten started. Some of them got one guy's moving to Vegas, and he's been doing some spots out there part time, and he's trying to get. But he understood. He got to buying magic, and then he started to understand when I would help him about how to make it entertaining, not just just do a trick. You know.
Yeah.
Doing tricks here is okay, but
that's right. That's right.
People here love the tricks, and they, but the general public doesn't get that involved unless they unless it's a little more entertaining.
That's right. What is your, now again, you've been coming to this for a long number of years. What are some of your favorite memories from Abbott's that you've seen? I mean, like we were Duke Stern and Carol Fox and Ab Dixon and everybody in the past, but something that comes to mind or Monk Watson, I don't know.
Yeah, well, Monk, I got the letter yet that Monk Watson sent when I was 15, 16 or 17, and I worked Abbott's first time.
Yeah.
If you look on the they have a book that has the, all the list of the people that appeared on Abbott.
Yep.
And if you look, there'll be a Richard Stoner, and then underneath it'll be Dick Stoner. It's the same person.
Same person?
Yeah.
That's
but,
funny.
But I did Richard, they put down it was Richard Stoner. And Monk Watson sent me a letter and said, Percy Abbott would like to hear it about you, and he'd like to see you, have you on his show sometime. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay. So I went down, and they said, well, we can't pay you big money, but we can pay you $25.
That's not big money, you're right.
No, but back then, that was to a kid. That was.
Yeah.
But anyway, I did the show then, and then I did it a couple more times. And but I don't know if I told you, we got our store from Abbott's.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm.
Duke Stern was working in a store in Indianapolis for Abbott's.
Okay.
And my dad says, this is what you want to do. Why don't we make our own magic shop? I said, okay. So he says, we'll go to Percy Abbott and see if he can sell us magic. Mm-hmm. So we went up and talked to Percy, and he says, do you wholesale magic? I said, yeah. He said, and we said, we're opening a magic store. And he said, where at? And I said, Fort Wayne, Indiana. And he said, oh, he says, I've got a store in Indianapolis, a store in Detroit, and a store in Chicago. You're right in the middle of that. I'd be competing with myself. So he said, no, I can't. So then about a month, he called us and said, I'm selling the Indianapolis store. If you want to buy the store, I'll throw in the showcases. If you buy the inventory, I'll show you give you the showcases and the little stage and everything. And so we bought that, and then Percy came to Fort Wayne and picked our location.
Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, this particular convention is dedicated to the Blackstone family. Did you see Harry Sr. perform?
There's a picture. My grandson put it online, and I think they have it over. He gave a copy to Rick.
To Greg Bordner? Or?
No, Rick. The guy has over here. He's got a magic shop. Fab Magic.
Oh, Fab Magic. Yeah. Rick Fisher.
Yeah. Rick Fisher. He's got a picture there, or I think of it then. But it's got Harry Blackstone Sr. and me shaking hands, mm-hmm. and it says Dick Stoner and friend.
and another guy. Yeah. That's funny. Well, Dick, thanks very much. Chatting with you.
The same thing.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Dick Stoner. This is Scotty Allen. So now we are at the Lutheran Church, and we'd actually, it's pouring down rain. It came down thunder and lightning at about 5 o'clock or so, and that was about the time that this dinner, the chicken parmesan, I can hear thunder right now out there eating. The chicken parmesan dinner at the Lutheran Church, and there are probably about, looks like 110 people here right now, packed into their dining hall, and one of the people I'm packed in with right now is Janie Taylor. Hey, Janie.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Nice having dinner with you.
It's good to break bread with you here, my friend, and so it was good seeing you then last night for our Magic and Martinis, and of course, you were a guest on the virtual shows that we had done some time back as well.
That's right. I think I was like third or fourth group. I was one of the early groups.
Like last July, a year ago July.
Right.
Before I started doing that.
Start all the craziness.
So what were you doing during all this time of COVID?
Well, I did a couple of virtual shows. I had a hard time embracing it. Had a hard time motivating it.
Yeah.
But I didn't do like online Zoom shows. Mm-hmm. I taped videos, and then I sold the videos to libraries.
Okay. That's kind of a tricksy, I think.
And then they could use it for like a month on their social media or their website. So I did that, but then after Christmas, I kind of lost motivation. But also, I'm a ski instructor in northern Michigan.
Right.
So I taught ski lessons all last season, which helped. We had a bunch of COVID rules, but the hill was open. So it felt really kind of normal to me because I was out on the hill teaching ski lessons and being around people and kids. But when you ski, you have a neck gaiter on anyway, so your nose and mouth are.
Plus you're outdoors as well.
Right. And plus, northern Michigan, it's 10 above. Any germ's going to freeze.
I would.
Right.
If I was a germ. So when you've been attending this, I know you have been coming for at least 15 years.
At least 38. I'm on 38. Round 38.
Okay. And you have been a street performer here. I guess this, John Stark puts this thing together from year to year. And you today, were you working yesterday also and today or just today?
I had three spots. Okay. Wednesday, yesterday, and today.
Okay.
But today, of course, was rained out. But I still got three in. I did an impromptu one uptown in front of Five Star Pizza along with Trino. We kind of did a round robin, which was fun.
Yeah.
And filled our obligation that
way. What kind of crowds do you have?
This
year compared to previous year.
Right. The Village Market out the grocery store, since it's out of town, is the toughest place, but I know it. I've worked out there before. You're lucky if you get 15.
Well, it wasn't bad back when they had hot dogs. Was there people coming out to eat?
Right. Yeah, that was better when they had the hot dog thing. So you might get 15, 20 people out there, which is okay. And, man, at Abbott's, I had a big crowd. Well, you were there, what, 50, 60 people?
There were probably about 50 people, right?
And we probably, Trino and I, probably had 30 or 40 today out in front of Five Star. We were lucky there was a vacant parking spot, so people could stand in the parking spot to spill over from the sidewalk and the parking spot. So I always help out with the buskers. It's fun.
So what is different this year from previous years that is standing out for you as far as it's obvious to you that this is different because of X?
I don't know if there's anything different. Talent. Exceptional talent. And the contest this morning was totally full. There were 12 contestants compared to maybe 4 or 5. And the contest was really good.
It was good. I mean,
we haven't had a good contest like that in years.
Yeah, there are lots of some people on there I've seen actually on the bill, professionals, you know, talent.
Right.
And
close up, you know, there weren't four performers, gladiator style. We just had one. We had Eric DeCamps.
There was? Close up?
Yeah, I mean, Eric filled the close-up spot. So there wasn't four performers at the same time trying to...
Wait a minute, you're talking about like his pure magic, the show, the one-man show? Oh, okay.
Right. That filled the close-up spot, whereas before, you know, it'd be four different people in the gymnasium. And
right, you kind of sit the bleacher.
Yeah, it's like gladiator.
Explain that for people who have... When you say gladiator style, you are kind of in there, but explain to people who don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I think of a school gymnasium, and the bleachers are pulled out, and there are two performers on each side, so there's four performers carrying on at once. On, you know, two on one side of the gym, two on the other side of the gym. So if, say, you got a David Williamson, you get a great reaction, and it just spills over into everybody else, and then the performer who's, you know, 20 yards down from you has to deal with that.
Yeah.
That's why it's gladiator style.
Yeah, four people come in, go in, one person comes out.
Right.
Okay. So there's... Looks like we're getting ready to wrap up over here and head back as well. Jania, thank you very much. It's always good chatting with you.
Always good to chat with you too, Scott.
From the Magic Word Podcast, that was Jania Taylor. Scotty out.
All right.
So here we are. We're getting ready for the evening show for Thursday night, and I'm with one of the performers this year, Franz Rai. Hey, Franz.
Hey, always a pleasure. Although I'm not actually a performer.
You are
not
lecturer,
sure what I am.
What are? I was going to ask you. I'm glad you said.
I'm just here for the atmosphere. That's it. I'm a fill-in. Yeah.
And at the last minute, it's kind of like, hey, let's get who else? Franz. He's not doing anything.
That's pretty much what it is. Yep. Yep.
Are you going to just kind of do a Q&A thing type of a...
Yeah, I'm going to do an interpretive dance and sand painting.
Oh, I love that. Okay, yeah. Yes, perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you have been kind of all over during this past year, and it's been great. I've had you on Tuesday and me on Thursday on Facebook.
There you go.
We've been tag teaming to kind of help people this year.
That's it. Who are we talking to right now?
This is on the Magic Word Podcast, so this is the podcast.
So hey, everybody out there in podcast land.
And so I've been doing updates of the convention every day for the last few days.
Oh, have you been painting the tapestry of what's going on here?
There's a giant
rabbit walking around, a bunch of magicians, some of them who I think maybe have never seen a woman naked, and overall, just a whole lot of happiness. And...
Not a lot of masks tonight. I was kind of surprised at that, too.
Well, I brought mine on. Yeah. I'm kind of waiting until the lights go down to pop mine on.
Yeah.
But I noticed that there are more masks today than yesterday. And also, I know you're vaxxed, so I'm being careful with you.
Yes.
But what's weird is a lot of people are coming up and they want to hug you and stuff, and it's like, oh, I don't know. So it's a weird place. Luckily, that didn't happen to us. We're kind of graduated past that.
That's right. We just go straight to the kissing.
That's it. And a belly buck, and that's it. That's safe, really.
I saw Gene Anderson, and the first thing, I was like, hey, fist bump, and I started to hug. No hugs, So.
Right. Yeah, I'm not. I think it's going to be a while. Yeah. For me, anyway, it's going to be a couple years.
But it is a joyous atmosphere with everybody feeling like, hey, we're getting out for the first time, and this is great.
Everybody's just so freaking happy to be here. Yeah. Also, from what I understand, in Michigan, COVID doesn't exist, so that's good, too,
Yeah, well, that's good, too.
Yeah.
So you guys, first time I've seen you here today. Will you just get in? Or
I got here last night, and I've been doing a thing for Penguin Magic where I'm interviewing a bunch of people, and so that sort of kept me in the shadows. I've been in the bowels of the high school here with Lance and Jeff Hobson and Kevin James, and so that.
You mean like for video as well, or
yeah,
audio?
It's video and audio. Yeah, it's a project that I started with Penguin 16 years ago, and we just keep adding, and finally they said, look, this is it, we got to put it out, so this is it right now.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, well, hold on, let me get Lance, and let me get Matt King, and I had him fanful for the people, and so that's been my project for the last 24 hours.
This particular convention is unlike others because of that. There are so many celebrity magicians, if you will, who are in one place at one time. And I think it's because it is the first time in 18 months, and everybody said, I want to be part of that. And then when they heard Lance was going to be, then Max said, I'm coming, And then these other guys started lining up and saying, let me come,
Right.
Mike Caveney's coming, and everybody, So it was
right.
Good.
It's pretty cool. This is, when I was a kid, there were, Neil Foster and Garrett Cooper and Harry Blackstone and all these, monoliths of our industry. Yeah. And I remember just being this starry-eyed little 13-year-old looking up at all these guys.
You remember Duke Stern, I guess, and everybody?
I don't think I met him.
I wondered about that. It's just on the edge of that.
I missed that, yeah.
I never did either. I'm older than you, but I didn't start coming until well after.
But we're it now. We're the Yodas. We are now the old guys. So how did that happen? That was fast.
I know not, young one.
Yes, there you go. Old, you say?
Yes. Well, we've been having a great time, and so anything new in the UFO scene, by the way?
In the UFO scene?
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting question.
I'm coming out of thin air on that
UFO.
One.
UFO? Are you a ufologist?
Not since you kind of mentioned it. We were talking.
What blows me away is there's so much coming out right now, and nobody seems to care.
You were the one who actually brought it to my attention.
It's arguably the most important thing in the history of the human species, and nobody seems to care. They're more interested in a giant bear and a rabbit that's walking around right now. So, yeah, it's amazing, but we shall see.
Yeah,
we'll talk UFOs sometime, yeah.
Well, it's just when we were talking on our episode on the podcast, we got kind of off a little bit on that, and you said, I don't think anybody really wants to know about that. We're talking about magic. But I thought, it is kind of interesting. I want to know a little
bit
more
crazy.
About that.
It's crazy. Well, I'm somewhat of a space geek. And
I know that.
Signs off. Hey, somebody's taking a picture
of us. That's a good place. Am I supposed to be on this, too? Okay, there we go. Thank you.
Beautiful.
So,
from the side, that looked like Lance Burton. Didn't that look?
Yes.
All I could see was just the hair and the camera, and I thought, well, that's interesting. Lance could have come up and asked, but, that's nice.
Did you ever compete? Then we'll go move on here, but did you ever compete at Abbott?
I did, many times. When I was 14. I came and I did a chicken act. I basically did a dove act.
You weren't dressed like a chicken. I mean, you were producing.
Chickens.
Oh, okay.
No, I was a 14-year-old kid dressed, I don't know what I was dressed like, Colonel Sanders, sort of. Mm. But I did a dove act with rubber chickens.
You kind of look like thin Kevin James.
Well, that's sort of me still right now, actually. And then I did a tap dancing routine with magic when I was like 6. So I did a bunch of these competitions.
Yeah.
And I remember every year, as soon as I did it, and I never won first, but I won second and third a bunch of times. And I remember on the drive home thinking, all right, what am I going to do next year?
Next year? Already thinking.
Already ready for next year. Scoping the stage, scoping the theater, what can I do?
How far away from here do you live, or did you live?
My folks lived about 2.5 hours.
Okay.
But I used to stay here in a tent. In a little pup tent that was put up in someone's backyard. And then I rode my bike around,
Yeah. I think so. I was Dave Williamson.
Oh, there's
said
a giant rabbit.
Yeah.
Big giant rabbit is approaching us right now.
It's a giant hare. Big hare.
That's it. That's something. And walking by, there's an interesting smell that I did not expect either. Kind of beefy almost, really.
It's that mascot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that I've
furry.
Never been washed ever smell.
A furry animal. Furry.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we're literally talking into a guinea pig right now.
Yes. For those, it's funny because
I feel like
first
you should anthropomorphize it. Give it a name.
Well, I should, actually. I just,
this is Paul.
It's a dead cat.
Okay, there you go. That's fine, too.
That's the first thing that Jeff Hobson had said about this, too. I feel like I'm talking in... What is this thing I'm talking into over there? I need to get a sponge microphone. Rather, this is actually for an outdoor...
A Spanish microphone?
Sponge.
Oh,
you know, that
Spanish
kind of
would be nice. A little hat.
That's right. So that way they're
you
kind
know?
Of... It would interpret Spanish automatically.
That's true.
English, you'll translate. So when you talk... Actually,
that's I would love to use that,
a,
like from
kind
a gardener,
of a translator,
yeah.
kind of. A thing.
Yeah.
So, anyhow.
Oh wow! Look at there.
So,
thank you very much.
Lance Stolden took it.
Till next week,
Lance Burden.
Till next time,
my producers.
We
microphone.
Will talk to you probably after the show.
Yes.
It's going to be
thank
over then too.
Much.
So until then, that
oh,
was
no.
Ron Cerari.
I feel like I've been segued out. I've just disappeared. I've disappeared into podcast void.
Was okay, see ya.
Oh, my gosh. I'm gone. I'm into the beyond section. Oh, well, there's beds and baths. Wow. Look at, oh, wow, new window dressing.
Just like a goldfish. Oh, look that's at the pretty it. Thing.
Are we
but
done?
You weren't really doing it? Big. You weren't really doing big illusions or anything here.
No.
Okay.
I stopped doing that. To do illusions at Abbott's is basically paying money to show up to your
their,
friends.
Their things. Yeah, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, you,
yeah.
By the time you hire people and you hire the truck and you pay for everything, I figured out I could give everybody in the audience $20 and say, just like me, you know, and it would be easier than spending. That's it.
Yeah.
$20. I'll take the trophy. Yeah. Yeah, I'd save a lot of time in packing and unpacking, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Alrighty, so, well, we are going to take off.
All right,
thanks very much, Ron. Yes, it has been. All yours, not mine. So, no, I mean, sorry, it's been mine, not yours.
That's right.
Whatever.
That's
reverse
right.
that. Till next time. That was Franz Roy there, flashing the lights. Scotty out.
Good.
So, the evening show is just now over. We completed that. And also, your lecture was earlier today with Chad Long.
Yep,
also,
yep,
I got
Chad
David,
Long, yep.
David Williamson with me right here right now.
Hey, buddy.
Good to see you, my friend.
Thank
and
you,
so,
my
what
friend.
Happened to your fingers?
You were hedge clipper accident. Hedge clippers won.
Was it electrical hedge clippers?
It was, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, you kind of got a jolt, or you just, not real
no,
serious,
no,
but
no.
didn't cut any ligaments or any?
Well, nerves. I have nerve damage, so
okay.
I can't hold a deck of cards.
It's kind of hard to do one-handed cut and things
yeah.
a little bit then
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so when are they starting up with the your tour, the Illusionist tour again? What's the latest?
Well,
on
we
that?
Just did one in Kansas City last week for at an outdoor amphitheater.
Yeah.
We did a week there, but that's it for now. That's all that's on the books.
And
so there's no plans for a tour right as of now that I know of.
Yeah. So it's just kind of like one
we're
gig
on,
at a time.
Everybody's on hold. Yeah. That's yeah. right. Everything's on hold.
Yeah. And so well, what Kevin was talking about was hopefully that by Christmas they might be up in Canada, or is that
well,
part
there's
of
a, the Illusionists have a different kind of show that they're going to be putting around Canada, yeah.
Okay. So
Christmas time, hopefully.
Because there were two different Illusionist
the
tours,
19,
is that right?
Yeah. And then Circus 1903 is going to pick up in London again over the holidays, which
and
I'll be going over for that.
And that's the one that you're emceeing?
That's the one I'm the ringmaster, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. How long have you done that now? 2 years?
About 3.5 years. Yeah, we started in Australia in 2017.
What's December. Your favorite place that you've visited around the world so far?
Oh, there's so many. I love New Zealand. It was a great, beautiful place. I love London. This will be our third time going back there over the holidays. But I've been going to the UK and London for 40 years now.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, they speak the language.
They speak the language, yeah.
That's always the same thing in New Zealand. That's always
and I'm
helpful.
Not picky about the food, so.
Well, it's good because it's not the
it's
finest
not the,
cuisine.
Nothing to speak of, yeah.
No, that's true. Now, how many times, how many years would you say that you've been coming here to Abbott's?
I first came in 1973. My mom dropped me off the pup tent and left the state. And I lashed myself onto Tim Wright, who was 16 at that point.
Yeah.
And he showed me the ropes, and it was the greatest weekend of my life, so fond memories. And I walked into the dealer's room for the first time, never been to a real magic shop or dealer at that point in my life, and right there on the corner was Hank Morehouse.
Yeah.
Sold me my first trick.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And then it was just...
And off and running.
There.
I was
roller coaster ride since then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I was just talking with Franz Reichwald ago, and he was saying kind of the same thing, that he came here, had a tent he kind of set up, and that's kind of how he got started.
Yeah, yeah, same here. Yeah,
it's great. So, anyhow, it's been a little bit different this year because we're all kind of coming back, and this is a great time, a great convention. We don't get to see you at a lot of conventions because you always are traveling and
always
working.
Yeah, so this has been great. I've been stuck in the house for a year, and my wife said, "Go." She was smiling as she drove me to the airport, so. Whistling. Yeah. She didn't even whistle. She
are you coming? Learn. Are you coming back or not for a while? You going to be
What's
traveling?
That?
That's what she was probably
saying.
Yeah,
yeah. Stay as long as you like. Yeah, she's sick of me.
That's great. Hey, and Billy
Hurst. Agent just walked
Billy Hurst is over here. Hey, Bill, how are you, man?
I'm not getting any work,
Hi,
by
Scott.
The way.
No, I know. And we're going to be like that.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah, wearing a mask. Thank you very much. I just wanted to have you just chat for a quick
Of course.
Bit. Thanks very much, David.
Have fun, Scott. Thank
very
you.
Good. So, for the magic word and for the Herod Abbott, so that was David Williamson and Scotty out. And so now we are here with the person who was the master of ceremonies here for our Friday night show, Mr. Ice McDonald. Hey, Ice.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. Very good to have you here this evening. Building up to this, was there some great anticipation? Were they sure they were going to be having the show or not? Or how did this work out as far as trying to put this together from your perspective?
Well, from my perspective, you know, they booked us last year, and you saw what happened. This year, everyone was excited and everyone was determined to try to make this happen.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wanted to get out here. So from my perspective, I couldn't wait to get on the plane to come out here. And as you can see, this Abbott's is so powerful with all the acts. Every night is a headliner night.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was very exciting to see what was going on.
What's been one of the favorite parts for you so far from this convention?
Seeing everybody.
Yeah.
Seeing everybody and seeing the stars that came out for this particular event. We got superstars everywhere. Lance Burton. We got Williamson. We got everybody. Matt Key. Everybody.
And this isn't your first Abbott's?
Oh, no, this is my fourth Abbott's.
Fourth one? Have you performing or just have you been here just
Everyone,
to attend?
Excuse me, every Abbott's that I came, I performed at.
Do you find that most of the conventions you attend are just those where you are performing? Because yeah, I do see you working a lot of them, but I just wonder, do you ever just come to a convention just because, hey, you want to hang out or there's a magician you want to see or something?
It was interesting because I did attend a few of them, and when they saw that I was coming or registered, they asked me if I would do something. And there was a couple of them I just showed up and they said, you know, someone dropped out, can you do this? And I remember saying, no, I just want to be a spectator.
Yeah.
And that was one of the best things that ever could have happened. Just sitting back. Because you have to realize, we're magicians, so we like looking at magic as well as performing magic.
Of course.
See, so to get the opportunity to sit down and watch the art from a spectator's view was wonderful.
Yeah. It was a different, it is a different perspective of sitting in the chair and then watching somebody, and as opposed to being behind that light, you're kind of trying to look through the spotlight, who's out there, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely, and the lights are real bright, so you barely can see what's going on, but yeah.
Let me ask us a quick tip, and that would have to do with audience selection, volunteer selection from someone in the audience.
Okay.
How do you go about trying to find the right person? I've asked this question to several people, I'm always curious.
Well, you know, when I go out there, people thinking I'm just looking at them. I'm scoping the whole place. If I see someone sitting there and they're real anxious and everything to come up, they're excited about coming up, I will bring them up. Like tonight when I saw this lady, she gave me eye to eye, she was smiling, and I was singing to her, and she was singing back to me. I was like, oh, you're perfect. Because you're enthused about coming on this place.
That's what I've often wondered, if somebody might be overly enthusiastic, like, nope, I don't want that person.
Oh, definitely.
Or somebody saying, hey, pick her, and she really didn't want to go.
We never pick someone who say, pick her.
Yeah.
That is the kiss of death. If someone wants to come up and they're anxious to come up, never pick them up. Because they're looking for that 15 minutes of fame for themselves.
Yeah.
And so you have a routine, and you have to work even hard because they're trying to get that attention.
Yeah.
So whenever someone they pick her, I stay away from them. Or if they pick me, I stay away from them as well.
And likewise, I would think if somebody is not wanting to make eye contact, they're kind of looking away like, oh, boy, I really don't want to be up there.
Right. And sometimes I mess with those. I say something to the point, if you don't look at me, I'm guaranteed to pick you. And then all of a sudden they look at me, But I still move on, but I just want to make that point.
Yeah. Good advice. Thanks very much, Ice.
You're quite welcome, Scott. Thank you for interviewing me.
Always a good talk with you, my friend.
Excellent.
So the Magic Word Podcast, and from Abbott's over here from our Friday night show, that's Mr. Master of Ceremony, Ice McDonald. Thanks a lot. Scotty out. And so we just talked with Ice McDonald, who is the MC and now one of the performers, and that is Nick DeFatta. Nick.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me again.
Well, I'm glad that you were here. And this was, you say you were here 6 years ago, is that right?
I might be five. It was 2016.
Yeah,
so five.
I think you actually are getting younger. You're right.
Yeah. This is some kind of Benjamin Button thing going on.
And you did some different things here this evening, and some of your old classics, of course.
Yeah, the second album that nobody liked we played tonight, but
that's right.
Was fun.
Things went well, and how'd the lecture go for you? Your perspective.
Lecture was fun. Ran a little short. I don't lecture often, but it was fun. People seemed to get a kick out of it at least. But the show was really fun. I love doing the set for people who haven't seen it.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Now, is this particular show you're doing excerpts from your regular longer show? You do like a corporate or on cruise ships, I guess.
Totally. This was kind of the opening and closing of what I normally would do. So kind of a 20-minute chunk of what would normally happen.
Yeah. And then the end where you normally have the...
We didn't have all the fanfare. We had the Abbott's fanfare instead with the flashing lights turning on and off. Yeah.
But just because of travel with all the stuff you had to carry?
I didn't know I was doing the spoons. And then we got here and I was just going to do the ring routine. So we had a little bit more and kind of did what we could, but it was super fun.
Oh, it was super fun and had a great audience and just everyone was tickled pink.
Thanks, man.
So a lot of pink people here, I guess.
Right.
It was because of the sun.
Yeah.
That's right. So is this only your second Abbott's or have you been here at another Abbott's?
It's my second convention. Ended up working at both times, but I've been in. We drive up from Chicago every once in a while and just to visit the plant, dig through the basement.
I knew that you were working on Disney. What are the cruise ship line like right now?
Right now, I'm not doing any of them.
There's plans
to get back on. I'm not really pushing for it. I don't want to get trapped at I'm just...
On a petri dish.
Right. I'm a little nervous. So, I'd rather not be sailing 6 days to Hawaii and then be like, okay, everyone in their rooms for the next 90 days. So, when it comes
room service.
Back, I'll be there.
Yeah.
But for right now, I'm doing colleges and doing lounges, the Magic Lounge and clubs, but anything that kind of is functional.
Yeah, the high-paying Chicago Magic Lounge.
Yeah. Well, I do the whole show, so it's fine.
Okay. And as far as colleges, I mean, are they having NACA, or do they do Zoom NACA shows?
I think they did a Zoom NACA this year. It was Zoom showcases.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I
didn't
participate.
No, I wasn't. I was doing a couple other things in that time.
Speaking of Zoom, did you do many Zoom shows?
No, I probably did.
Really?
Eight. Yeah.
You were trying to keep away from it.
Kind of. Yeah. It's just not my thing. Thank you so much.
I guess you just kind of felt like as if that it was something that if it's not live, it's not the same.
I think I kind of do what I do for a really specific reason, and it just didn't have the spark for me. And if I'm not having fun, I'd rather do anything else.
Yes, true. I understand that. Plus, you would have to actually, because your act is very audience-oriented, and you have a lot of physical things, and you can't. You'd have to actually create a Zoom show.
Right. Yeah, and I've done some of the, there's ways to modify the football thing for anyone that's seen that, and the ways to modify the certain gags, but it just wasn't worth it in the end for me to really rather do live.
No, and this was great. Good luck on the future then, too.
Thanks so much, man.
Very good. So that was Nick DeFatta, Scotty out.